For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batzler, joined by my colleague and friend Bill Raggio, the senior fellow for the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy, keeping the Long War Journal. And filing on Long War Journal, we welcome Caleb Weiss of the Bridgeway Foundation and FDD, watching East and West Africa and the jihadists of the moment. Caleb, it's been too many weeks since we spoke, so we begin with your most recent filing. Shabab assaulting Mogadishu. What is Shabab's strength these days that they would take on the major city, and what is Mogadishu defended by? Good evening to you, Caleb.
Good evening, John. Thank you for having me again. It has been way too long, so I'm glad to be back. So technically, most of the fighting has been north of Mogadishu, not necessarily in the city itself. Over the past, really, 2 to 3 weeks, Shabab has mounted a large-scale offensive in two regions, Middle Shabel, which is the region of Somalia immediately north of Mogadishu, and Haran, which it borders Middle Shabel further in the center of the country. These are strongholds of Shabab. They've been strongholds for a decade plus. When the government in Mogadishu launched its own counteroffensive back in 2022, these were two regions that saw most of the fighting. And actually, the government forces backed by tribal militias called the Ma'awisli, they captured a decent amount of territory from Shabab in those two regions. However, in the last few weeks, Shabab seems to be reversing a lot of those gains. Between both regions, Haran and Middle Shabel, the group has taken over a dozen towns and villages away from federal forces and tribal militias. And they're continuing even today. Just this morning, East Africa time, they launched a massive suicide assault, one of its classic tactics, on a hotel in Bel Edwain. Bel Edwain is a major city in Haran. Reportedly, the hotel they attacked was hosting a meeting between federal forces and tribal militias to try to regroup and sort of restructure a counteroffensive against this new offensive by Shabab. At the same time, Shabab launched a massive attack on Somali forces in Baidoa, which is the capital of Southwest State in southern Somalia, which is it's south of Mogadishu. But all this to say, Shabab is on a rampage right now, really threatening the security and integrity of not necessarily inside the capital, but the outskirts of the capital of Mogadishu. Right now, the defensive positions of Mogadishu are mainly federal troops, but as well as troops from Uganda. In Middle Shabel, that used to be the sector dedicated for Burundian troops. But due to disagreements between Mogadishu and Burundi, Burundi is no longer part of the new African Union force, so they are withdrawing from Middle Shabel, which is likely why Shabab is doing this. They're capitalizing on not only the Mogadishu's counteroffensive stalling, infighting between the tribal militias, the Ma'awisli. They often turn their guns on each other. Just within the last few months, in the same area where Shabab is rampaging, the tribal militias fought each other. But also Burundian troops are leaving, providing some sort of security gap in Middle Shabel specifically. Mogadishu is trying to call on Ethiopia to deploy additional troops to Somalia to help them counterbalance this new offensive. I'm not sure as of right now if Ethiopia has actually deployed those troops, but Mogadishu is certainly asking for it. And the U.S. has also been involved watching what they called collective self-defense strikes. It's AFRICOM's favorite verbiage to basically say that they're launching airstrikes in defense of attacks on Somali troops.
Bill, detail about Shabab. This is a member in good standing of the transnational organization known as Al-Qaeda. Is that still correct, Bill?
Yes, it is, John. Shabab is one of Al-Qaeda's, I would argue, most effective branches worldwide. They often referred to as the Taliban of Africa. They're organized much like the Taliban. They have their own form of governance. They have their military, their fundraising, and they're quite an effective terrorist organization.
You have a question for our friend Caleb.
Yes, Caleb, you mentioned the self-defense strikes. I always found that to be one of the AFRICOM's most humorous euphemisms for serving as Somalia's air force. But and welcome back, Caleb. Around four or five years ago, I can't remember the exact date, a U.S. general estimated that the Shabab controlled around 30% of Somalia. We haven't seen such an estimate since then. Has the situation improved in for the Somali government? Is it even possible to estimate the degree of Shabab's control today?
I don't even think it's necessarily possible. If one were to give sort of an educated guess, I would say 30% is probably still accurate, maybe a little more, but probably teetering around there. One thing to keep in mind is, in some areas of Somalia, the situation is better. The government has been able to take over and hold areas, certainly in Lower Shabelle, a little bit in Bay and Bakool, and other areas of Hiran and in Middle Shabelle. But in other areas, Shabab is, again, as I just said, retaking other areas. So there's ebb and flows all around Somalia. There are different fronts in the conflict with Shabab, and the fronts are always changing. Whereas other fronts are more static. And another thing to keep in mind is that not all of Somalia is unified. In addition to, obviously, I think most people are aware of, the split between Mogadishu and Hargeisa, between, the federal government of Somalia and Somaliland. There's also issues with Puntland in the north, where Puntland doesn't necessarily see itself as part of Somalia anymore. You also have Jubaland in the extreme south. That also proclaims independence now from Mogadishu. This kind of, balkanization, if you will, of Somalia only helps Shabab. Take Jubaland, for instance. There's been fighting between Mogadishu and Jubaland forces that obviously takes, resources, attention, everything, manpower, away from the fight against Shabab that Shabab has exploited. They've done it. Other attacks in Jubaland and southern Somalia that have, helped it out because the eyes are off of them due to the Somali infighting. So, it's a little nuanced. Some areas is better. Some areas it's significantly worse. In other areas, it's only going to get worse because of infighting between regional Somali states. And then other areas, it seems to be okay. But if, again, one had to estimate, 30-35% is probably still accurate.
Two details, Caleb. I recall the statement in 24 that at the end of the year, the African Union would be withdrawing its stabilization force from Somalia or Mogadishu. I don't remember. And the second thing is the question of where Shabab is recruiting. Let's begin with the first. Did the African Union leave? Is that what Burundi is, a surrogate for the African Union?
No. So the African Union, the previous mission you were talking about was the ATMIS, was the transition mission in Somalia. They're now calling its mission the Support and Stabilization Mission in Somalia, or AWSM, which I think is kind of a pretty funny acronym as well. It started in January, I believe, this year, and it's set to go on for the next couple of years. But at a much lower rate. The contributing countries of Uganda, Djibouti, Kenya, and Ethiopia should be withdrawing more troops. Again, like I said earlier, Burundi is already leaving. Interestingly, Egypt has signed on to this new African Union mission of deploying new troops that they've never had in Somalia before. So that's interesting. But everyone else seems to be, as part of this new mission, they'll be periodically withdrawing as planned. But no, the African Union is still there, just a little smaller force.
And the recruiting for Shabab, are there fighters, Somalians? Are they from the region? Are they trans-African?
So it is trans-African. Most of the fighters are native Somalis. Most of its leadership, apart from a few individuals, are Somali. Interestingly, there is an American citizen within its leadership, Jihad Mustafa, Sir Juan. But other than that, most of them are native Somalis. But you do have Somali Kenyans. You have Bantu Kenyans. You also have Tanzanians. You have Ethiopians. You have Yemenis, other Arabs. So it's also transnational and trans-African. But again, the core constituency of its recruiting is native Somalis.
So what we have are two different command structures. One, the African Union side, is a collective. It's not clear to me what the wiring diagram looks like, who's in overall charge. And the Shabab side is focused on the Somalia territory. You said mostly the fighters are from Somalia. The leadership, that's always significant in these matters. Do we know who's leading Shabab?
Yeah, his name's Abu Ubaida Ahmed Omar. He's a native Somali. He's been in charge since 2014, when the previous leader, Muqtar Abu Zubair, was killed in a U.S. airstrike. So he's been in power, I think, technically longer than Abu Zubair at this point. So he's been pretty effective at keeping Shabab together, cohesive, and a strong fighting force.
Bill, you have a question for Caleb.
Yeah, Caleb, the Shabab's only had two emirs. That's which is amazing. I think it tells you a lot about its ability to provide security for its leadership, especially given the U.S. presence, persistent presence over time. As far as the African Union forces withdrawing, how do you assess the withdrawal of these forces will impact the security situation in Somalia?
Well, whenever the African Union... actually withdraws at this point, I'm kind of the belief that this is a kind of forever war, as U.S. domestic politics likes to say. But whenever they do actually leave, I think it would be a huge negative for Somali security, unless between here and now, Somali forces are actually professionalized, given better equipment, and are a better fighting force. As of right now, if the African Union troops were to leave tomorrow, I would see Shabab probably overrun a lot of Somali positions, particularly in Haran and Middle Shabelle and other outskirts of Mogadishu, because ultimately it would be down to just American airstrikes and Turkish airstrikes to try to prevent Shabab from overrunning Mogadishu. As of right now, the African Union troops still provide quite a hefty force multiplier for the Somalis and a couple, African Union contributing nations, Uganda specifically, actually do great work in Somalia. They do actually go after Shabab quite heavily and are somewhat effective at fighting them. So if the African Union troops were to leave, it would be very bad for Somali security. Whenever the African Union decides that they've had enough.
Caleb Weiss for the Bridgeway Foundation. He is at the Long War Journal to see his filings for the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy. We're watching Somalia because there's so much on the offensive by the Shabab. We're headed to West Africa, where you will recall the Sahel states, that's around the edges of the Sahara, have broken away from democracy, have broken ties with Europe and the United States. And what is their status now in 225? This is with Bill Raggio, of the Senior Fellow for the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.